application of Jim Goodpaster and Sherry Goodpaster for a conditional use permit. So our next case is 822-0982 in the matter of the application of Goodpaster for a conditional use permit. As all parties are aware, the appellant will have 15 minutes for their argument in chief. Respondent will have 15 minutes. And then finally, the appellant's counsel will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Whenever you're ready and get settled, just approach the podium, adjust the microphone to your level, and tell us who you are in a loud, clear voice, please.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Peter Frank, P-E-T-E-R-F-R-A-N-K. I represent the relators, Jim and Sherry Goodpaster. Your Honors, this case is about four words, too small and too close. The board's decision is entirely based on those four words. And the reason this decision denying the conditional use permit was arbitrary and capricious is that the code here specifically says that this proposal...
That it can be too small and too close?
The code specifically says, Your Honor, that it is not too small and too close.
Because there's nothing about 20 acres versus 5 acres in the ordinance.
Yeah, and the ordinance, Your Honor, actually says specifically that a property just needs to be 5 acres. That's the minimum. This is more than in the minimum. Therefore, it's not too small.
And if they want to change the ordinance, they can change the ordinance.
That is correct. Thank you, Your Honor. So just to get a little bit...
Can I, before you get too far into it, I have a bit of a record question for you. In other words, what is our record? I mean, I realize that we've got the transcript and minutes from the Planning Commission, but we're reviewing the county board's decision, and there was no testimony taken, no evidence there. But I gather from the briefs, it seems to be referencing all the evidence that came from the Planning Commission. So is it your position, do you agree then, the record upon which we review to determine whether a reasonable decision was made includes the Planning Commission's evidence and findings and minutes and report?
Thank you for that question, Your Honor. I agree that the record includes what's in the administrative record that's been provided to the court. That's what the rules provide. I do think that the nature of the county board hearing, that it was 5 minutes long, that it didn't have testimony, that there was no discussion of the Planning Commission's conditions, that should go into the court's decision as far as whether it was arbitrary and capricious. I think it shows that the county board did not really give this application a fair shake.
Let me ask you a slightly different way then. How do we know what part of the Planning Commission's evidence the board either accepted or rejected?
Well, I think that because of the very sort of arbitrary nature of the county board hearing, it's not possible for the court to know that. And so I think, you know, to the extent that's not in the record, that favors a reversal here.
Because we're not able to discern its analysis of the information that was presented to the Planning Commission, because there's no reference to it other than perhaps indirectly there was a reference to size, obviously, or now we have the three reasons in the written document.
Yeah, and Your Honor, I think that's exactly it. It's the three reasons in the written document. To the extent that we know what the county board based their decision on, we have their written decision, and there's no way to know if they considered anything beyond that. And frankly, under the case law, the written decision is what can be considered on appeal. So they put their reasons for the decision in the written decision. If they considered anything else beyond that, it doesn't matter. It's beyond the scope of this appeal.
So if I could go take you to that written decision, and I understand what you're saying about just the looking at size just per size, but I'm looking at the second ground because, you know, one ground and we should, if it's factually supported, you know, and as a it's rational basis, we need to affirm, right? So.
Well, Your Honor, I mean, it is rational basis, but I would say that if you look at the case law, this is a deferential standard, but it is objective. The reasonableness here and whether it's arbitrary and capricious is based on whether the application complied with the standards in the code.
Okay. We have a very deferential standard review when it comes to reviewing county board decisions in this context. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely agree. It's a deferential standard.
Okay. I'm looking at the second ground. You know, whether the property is sufficiently compatible with the neighborhood place, sufficiently, not sufficiently separated, because those, you know, phrases take us back to the ordinance, right? So those are in the ordinance, and the county board's making a finding that that wasn't met, so we're together there, right? And so the question is, you know, is that supported by the evidence? And, you know, when I look at the testimony before the Planning Commission, there are a lot of neighborhood comments about that compatibility and traffic issues. So to me, the hard question is that enough? Is it specific enough? So here's my question for you. When we're looking at the size question, is it big enough? Is the lot big enough? Just given 40% already have grapes and they're gonna build a house and they're gonna build an event center. Can that evidence also go to the, is it sufficiently compatible? Is it sufficiently separated as opposed to the first ground? Do you see what I'm saying? Because there were neighbors that were expressing those concerns. Could you help, you know, give me your perspective on that?
Yes, Your Honor, and thank you for that question. I guess I'll address that in two parts. I mean, we have separate grounds from the county board here, and so first on the whether it's too small, you know, it's not just that it's, you know, 5 acres or more. If you look at Relator's addendum here, there's section 5.15 of the code that lays out all of the dimensional standards for a rural retail tourism use in an agricultural district, and we have, you know, lot area of 5 acres, we have buildable area, lot width, lot depth, setbacks of many varieties, but, height restrictions.
Yeah, but don't we also, when we have the definition on what's a, you know, rural retail tourism business, I'm looking at 4.15, under what small scale and low impact, that's where it comes in, is it sufficiently separated, right? It's not just the lot size. And that's why I'm getting at, does this testimony, could it go to either ground? So if we don't think it ground one is enough, should we look at that same testimony for ground two?
Your Honor, I think you can look at all of the testimony as to any of the findings that the county board made, but just kind of largely here, just looking at the kind of too close and whether it fits into that too close reasoning from the county board, I think there's some very important facts here that maybe I should have spent a little bit more time on in the briefs, and I just wanted to touch on here. This property has agricultural zoning on three sides, and then on one side it has the rural residential zoning. And critically here, this is also in my addendum, section 5.06 of the code indicates that single-family homes are an allowed use in the agricultural district. And so what that means under the terms of the code is you could actually have, and it's entirely consistent with how this code is set up, a winery surrounded on all sides by residential properties, even if it's an entirely agricultural area. And here, you know, on top of that, we also have the Planning Commission putting in the condition of screening. So to the extent that the court finds that there's some issue with, you know, whether there is some possible reason that the county board could have considered this to be too close to residential uses.
They put in 17 conditions to deal with it.
And the screening condition in particular, Your Honor, I think it's important to look at that. I'll cite to you administrative record page 121 that contains condition number 17 with screening. The screening requirement was staggered rows of pine trees 20 feet apart on three sides of the property. The only side that didn't have that screening requirement was the side with the road on it. And the board's finding here was that screening was, quote, unlikely to mitigate any impact. And I'll submit to the court there's simply no evidence that that screening condition, a very onerous one, would not have mitigated any potential impact about the closeness of this property to residential properties.
Mr. Frank, if I could follow up. So I understand what you're saying about, look, they just made this broad finding. I'm looking at finding number two again, but they didn't say how these conditions would impact that finding. So is this a situation where if we're troubled by that, we can send it back to the board and say, you got to address this. You didn't, as opposed to, I think what you're asking us to do, saying you just got to direct them to issue the conditional use permit. So help me with that one.
Well, I think, you know, this goes back to the one of the initial questions that I got, which is, you know, how do we deal with the fact that the board had this very short sort of cursory hearing where they, you know, basically just heard the staff presentation, immediately made a motion to deny without any consideration. I would say that the board here had an opportunity to consider conditions, to take testimony, and to address this in a very meticulous way. And instead, they just decided to exercise their will instead of their judgment, deny it without considering it. They had their opportunity to do that, and that opportunity has passed.
Mr. Frank, where is a case that says the county boards need to be meticulous in this situation? Because that has not been my, just speaking for myself and not for the panel, you know, not always my experience. Point me to that case law.
I can't point you to a case law that says specifically that the board must be meticulous, but they can't be arbitrary and capricious, which is what they did here.
And that's a spectrum.
Mr. Frank, could I want to follow up. Judge Essen made a good point. It's kind of one that I'm trying to infer from a five-minute hearing if we were to incorporate fully or assume the county incorporated without telling us they're incorporating the statements that were made by the neighbors at the Planning Commission, is that the size, does it relate to that definitional phrase of the tourism that it must have a small scale and have low impact? I assume at least indirectly that's where perhaps you could concede they could have got to deny. Am I right? In other words, or obviously the county believes they did through, I guess, the testimony of the neighbors. But what's missing? We know from the case law that you don't need expert testimony, but you do need concrete support for a neighbor's statement. Where is the concrete missing from the statements of the neighbors to fit those subdivisions of the small-scale, low-impact requirements?
Yeah, Your Honor, I think the concrete is missing in that we just don't have, the case law talks about, you know, that there has to be some support for the neighbor's statement. It can't just be that we just accept that they say that there's going to be an adverse impact. There needs to be, you know, whether it's a traffic study somebody to provide some support for those statements. And here I think that this really comes in when we're talking about, you know, respondent here devotes a lot of the brief to addressing issues of traffic, noise, and the comprehensive plan. And I know those are, you know, well addressed in my reply brief that those aren't really properly before the court, but a lot of the neighbors' comments actually dealt with those issues as opposed to the issues that the county board actually made their decision based on. And so I think to the extent there's a missing piece here, it's that the written decision of the county board didn't actually address really what the neighbors were concerned about.
And so is that where the conditions comes in? You referenced that for instance, music now has to be indoors, not the outdoors, can't be amplified, and limiting the hours and days and all of the above.
Yes, that's exactly right, Your Honor. And so the neighbors' comments that were addressed in detail by the Planning Commission were incorporated into both the staff conditions, 14 of them that the Planning Commission considered, and then three additional conditions that the Planning Commission added at that hearing. And that's where we get those conditions adequately addressed all of those neighbors' concerns. And so to the extent that those were real concerns that were supported by evidence, they're addressed, and the board did not, in their written findings or at the hearing, give any consideration to whether those conditions were adequate.
And one follow-up to that, you make a brief argument that, and if we accept your position, we should simply reverse and order unconditional approval. Number one, has our court ever done that? And number two, isn't it true that the board, since it denied it, didn't have the only conditions we have that was before the board were the 17 that we're talking about? Wouldn't it be more appropriate given that? And I think the case you cited did the same thing. I can't remember the name of it that you kept referring to. But in any event, wouldn't that be what we would need to do? Because that was what was before the board.
Your Honor, I don't have a specific case where the court has done that before. I will say that I did cite many cases where the court limited the remand, and I think that would be appropriate here, and I'll leave that to the court's judgment as to what would be appropriate under the circumstances. I do think that this is unique in that there's just the record indicates that the board didn't give this application fair consideration on the first round, and I'm concerned that they won't on the second round.
So what would you, if we agreed with your position and that we did reverse and remand, what would we say the board should do on remand? Issue the permit with the 17 conditions, issue the permit period, or issue the period with conditions to, you know, as they deem fit?
Your Honor, I would propose either to remand with an order to issue the permit without any conditions, or in the alternative to remand with instructions to issue the permit with the Planning Commission's 17 conditions.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Frank. We'll now hear from counsel for the respondent.
Thank you.
Please.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You're welcome.
May it please the court and counsel, Jason Kabushek on behalf of Chisago County. As the opposing counsel said, we're here on an appeal of a denial of CUP. In the county's view, there's one of three things this court can do with that appeal. One, affirm the denial of the CUP, which is the county's preferred mechanism. Two, reverse and remand it back to the county board so that the county board could add on reasonable and appropriate conditions. Or three, reverse and remand for the county board to adopt the Planning Commission proposed conditions, which is what was, as the court had mentioned, in the Vigstol case, what this court did there. Under no circumstances should this court remand this back for a conditional use permit with no conditions. The conditional use permit is just that. It's conditional. You have conditions. If this court remands it back and orders the issuance of the permit without conditions, you just have a use permit. You don't have any conditions, so you're getting away from the term.
So can you live with three? Reverse and remand with the conditions that the Planning Commission came up with? Or would you like us to start over again so we can see you all again in about a year?
Your Honor, the county's preference is obviously the affirmance of the denial.
Speaking for myself, no. I don't know what my treasured colleagues are going to do, but not a chance. If you don't like 5 acres, you know, then make it whatever you like. And then the others, I have to admit, I love the candor of one commissioner on your board. So the basis of denial is that set forth so that we actually have a factual basis for denial, right? That pretty much sums it up for me.
Understood, Your Honor. So if I had to choose between two and three, I think the county board certainly would be in favor of number two so that they have the ability to put on reasonable conditions, probably using the Planning Commission recommendation as a guideline.
And that dealt with, as Judge Sleater so accurately pointed out, the screen, the noise, the music, the hours. I mean, the Planning Commission tried to come up with things to deal with, you know, the neighbors' legitimate concerns. Speaking for myself, I don't know if I'd want to live next to a winery on 5 acres, but, you know, then sort that out yourselves and make it 10 or 15. But, I mean, the arguments that support two that were articulated by the neighbors presumably were dealt with by some of the 17 conditions that the Planning Commission thought needed to be there, granted in a 4-3 vote. So, you know, so obviously three people thought this is never going to work. So, I mean, some of the neighborhood complaints were dealt with in those conditions. Would that be a fair statement, counsel?
Your Honor, I would say some of the complaints were dealt with, but I don't believe all of them were dealt with. And I would say that, the noise, and that certainly was some concrete evidence.
Does grapes make a lot of noise when they grow?
No, Your Honor, I would say Ms. Hemmel, who testified at the Planning Commission, testified about the noise. She's a neighbor, indicated she could hear noise from surrounding communities a long distance, and this situation is much closer. So they tried to deal with the noise, and I understand that what the court's saying is that the condition to move the noise inside, that might have dealt with it. It doesn't deal with whatever noise is related to the event happening outside.
And presumably, if we were to reverse and order the permit to be issued with conditions, and a year from now those conditions were not being complied with, or the music inside and you know is not enough. I mean, it's just hellacious because you know this has turned into the greatest winery since you know Sonoma Valley. Presumably, someone could come back and say, hey, you know, this ain't working. I mean, is that a fair statement?
I think it's fair to say that if the court were to remand it, they adopted the conditions, and the conditions weren't complied with, the county could fine them that it wasn't complied with, they have to come into compliance, and then they could revoke it. However, the county could not just...
Kind of like the MPCA, not to foreshadow another group rolling in here. But, I mean, you know, that always happens. I mean, you can always have another hearing where saying, you know, you're not doing it, so, and then you can, as you pointed out, take the ultimate sanction, which is revoke the permit, we're done, shut down.
Right. We cannot. What we cannot do is go in and amend the condition, say, this particular condition regarding screening or this particular condition regarding noise. We can't sua sponte go in and change that on our own.
Right.
Mr. Kubushek, can I ask kind of a broad question about the role of a conditional use permit and zoning and et cetera, using, of course, our case as an example, because you said addressing noise, for instance, they may hear some noise. Isn't the kind of the point of, number one, the point's not to prohibit on private land activities consistent with the ordinance that might offend a neighbor because it's noisy, because that's not a basis. So here, and this gets to what Judge Conley is getting at in his question, isn't it true that the zone, what they propose is consistent with the zone? There's nothing inconsistent with it. And you've got the agricultural with residential. So people that live there aren't promised they will never hear noises. And for instance, I live in the country in Renville County, and there's a large cattle farmer just to my east, so when the east wind is coming, I remember they're there, of course. I'm reminded of it when I step outside, but I know that's for agricultural. So isn't that what these 17 conditions really do come down to, because it addresses in part their concerns, but the request is certainly consistent with appears to me a small scale, at least, tourism kind of purpose, consistent with the culture or whatever, just the words that it says in the ordinance. So in the big picture, isn't that, there's not, in other words, there's never a situation where you won't hear noise and you won't have a bunch of cars when they're having a particular event, but with all these things together, that's how we can live in harmony together and allow them on their private property to do this and still allow you a reasonable peace and quiet, consistent, though, with this agriculturally zoned tourism conditional use permit. Is that a fair summary of the law that we try and to wed all these competing interests together?
Your Honor, I would say on a very broad scale, when you look at conditional uses in the scope of zoning, they're a use that certainly the municipality has determined is appropriate for that particular zoning district with conditions allowed, that there's going to be some additional requirements that this particular use has to meet. It's much different than just a permitted use where you go in, you get your permit, and there you can start building or doing whatever. So they do recognize that these conditional uses do have some additional issues that have to be addressed, whether it's noise, traffic, whatever it may be, and they try to work through that through the imposition of conditions. And it's on the applicant to show that, you know, they can, through the imposition of these conditions, meet those concerns, alleviate those issues, and show that they meet the standards. And I,
that's perhaps where the staff works with them. So like the first 14, I think, was even before the, was presented to the Planning Commission, then they added the three more, including the one about registering in Minnesota, the corporate, the LLC that owns it. So it's an ongoing kind of a process to satisfy these concerns and needs that everybody has.
Right. There is a, when you have the pre-hearing, I think certainly staff and the applicant work through it. Ultimately, it's up to the applicant to say, yes, I'll do this. I'll agree to these conditions because they will alleviate it. And I think in this case, the board's three findings go back to the fact, and I think the court noted that section 4.15 of the zoning ordinance sets forth these criteria. And is it a small scale, low impact? And the board's three findings go directly to that provision, 4.15D. And if you look at those five criteria, these findings relate to that. They didn't think it would. They still felt, and one board member testified, I went out there, I looked at it, it's too small, too close to the neighborhood, and that's why they found it was incompatible.
But, oh, go ahead.
If I may, looking at, back to my reason number two of the county board.
Sure.
Okay. And assuming for the purposes of this question that the neighbor comments that underlie, that provide some factual support for number two, are concrete enough. So that's my assumption for the basis of this question. Were there any of those comments that were not at least addressed in part by the 17 conditions that the Planning Commission addressed? I mean, was there anything that wasn't at least attempted to be addressed through the conditions?
I think if you look at the conditions, the one that stands out to me is that Ms. Hemmel testified about the neighbors utilizing walking and riding on the gravel road. Mm-hmm. There's no condition on there that deals with the impact that that's going to have on the neighbors' use of the road.
Okay, but now I want you to tie that concern, if that's the only one that's not at least in some measure addressed by the condition, how does that relate to not being sufficiently compatible for the neighborhood place and usage and sufficiently separated? I mean, I just want to tie some concern that wasn't addressed by the conditions back to the ordinance itself.
Well, I think the neighborhood use of the road and that, you know, they use it for walking, riding, it's a gravel road, and now you're increasing it to a level of a business standard where you're going to have additional traffic. And I disagree with opposing counsel. You don't need traffic engineers to testify. And I think RDNT
And I'm not arguing, and I'm not saying that you do.
Right.
I, for the purpose of this question, was like, let's assume these are concrete enough, but how do we... But if they were at least almost all of them addressed to some measure by the conditions, then why isn't not addressing those conditions arbitrary and capricious?
I would... They felt... that based on what they had seen, the testimony in the record, that those conditions still didn't alleviate that concern. And I guess that's finding number two goes, the best I could do is tie it into Ms. Hemmel's testimony, where she talked about the use of the road.
Can I take you back, Mr. Kabusha? I got
sure.
a question I asked Mr. Frank, and I'm guessing without knowing that they didn't seek your advice before the process that was used. Maybe they did, but my... I asked about the record because the cases, at least that I've seen, typically there was their own record and then oftentimes would incorporate by reference also the findings of a planning commission, so they'll two together. And here we don't have that, at least not an incorporation of it or a reference to it that I saw. So we really don't know which parts of that, if any, they're accepting. We're kind of inferring from that. And then we have no additional testimony, unlike the case that you cited, and both parties cited they are unpublished case, so at least there was independent also, there was letters, emails, and testimony. So what advice, how would you say that legally to us? What's our record as a matter of law that we're actually reviewing or that we can say with confidence that the county board based its decision on, or properly should say they based their decision on?
Sure. The record would be everything from the time the application came in, the application, the supplemental documentation with the application, public comment, the Planning Commission, the staff reports related to that, the any resolutions or recommendations from the Planning Commission, and then staff reports and the county board meeting. Under the statute, the public hearing only has to occur at the Planning Commission level. So, and that gets incorporated into the county board proceeding. So you don't have to have another public hearing at the county board.
When you say it gets incorporated, what law says it's incorporated just as a matter of law?
I guess I would say there isn't specific language, but just the fact that people are, neighbors and the applicant are entitled to a public hearing, and it is, the statute just talks about that occurring at the Planning Commission level. So it would be inferred that, well, if that's where the public hearing is, the county board can utilize that information.
But we can only review a county board because they make the decision, right?
Correct. The county board is the final decision maker. But they can, and even one of the county board members testified, he was at the Planning Commission. So they've got knowledge of the Planning Commission proceeding of the testimony. So I think the administrative record properly includes the Planning Commission, both its findings and the transcript.
Thank you.
All right. As I've stated before, but certainly the county would like the court to affirm the denial. but we would ask that if it gets remanded back, it is remanded back with the opportunity to have conditions imposed on it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. Well, now, Mr. Frank, you'll have the last word, sir.
Thank you, Your Honors. I think I can be brief. Just have two things to address. First of all, as to the traffic issue, I mean, you know, again, that wasn't, it's not part of the appeal, it wasn't part of the county's written findings. But in addition to that, all development increases traffic. And there's no evidence in the record of any adverse impact based on expected traffic increase here. We just have one person saying that traffic's going to increase. That's not a basis to
And they
deny.
Can always walk on the other side of the road or not walk that day.
Correct, Your Honor. Thank you.
Feel free to quit while you're ahead.
And just finally on the remand. I'd cite to the case of CR Investments, Inc. versus Village of Shoreview. It's on page 14 of my reply brief. That gives the court the discretion to remand with specific instructions about what conditions may or may not be considered. And that's all I have. Thank you, Your Honors.
The matter was well briefed and well argued. Our decision will issue within 90 days.